back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Happy Wednesday morning to you. 35 minutes after the hour, she'll come on the program today from the Alabama Policy Institute, my friend, former State Senator Phil Williams. And from Yellowhammer News, as we do every Wednesday, we'll talk to a friend of mine, another friend of mine, Sean Ross. So you'll want to stay tuned for that. But join us now, a longtime colleague of mine, both at the Daily Caller and now currently at Breitbart News, a guy that knows a lot about getting, at least in this political climate, the ins and outs of the Electoral College and what Donald Trump has to do to get elected. Matt Boyle joins us on the line. Matt, how are you this morning?
Doing well, Jeff. How are you? And my, I hope everybody there on the Gulf Coast is getting ready for the hurricane and doing everything they can to prepare and being safe and whatnot. So I hope that doesn't cause that much damage, but I hope everybody's being safe.
Yeah, I think we're gonna. There's the forecast have us getting spared this go around. Perhaps maybe it's gonna go to a little to the west here, but still expect some rains, maybe some flooding in some places. But let's hope for the best. Matt, listening to, we were on a call yesterday, and I, listening to you, you know, I was sitting there, was kind of down, all these national polls coming out all of a sudden showing 14 points or 16 points or whatever, all these double-digit leads. It's not so much did I national polls put a lot of confidence in them, but the trend was alarming. I know we don't elect president based on popular vote, but you insist there's, you know, don't be too down on Trump's reelection bid, but there's a path, and it's wider than we think. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think that's a very fair assessment. I think that the president is a lot closer to locking down a second term than it looks in the public polls and the establishment media. So here's how I would break it down. First off, you do have to take into account these establishment media polls. I don't think that the president would ever lose by 14 or 16 points or something like that. But, you know, they do. They are a part of the ecosystem out there. So we have to take that into our consideration. We have to treat them as real. We have to treat them as serious. We have to confront it. And I think it's a warning sign. But that being said, here's how the president wins re-election, right? So you get 270 electoral votes. The way I would break that down is into four tiers of states. So the first tier I have in there is our red states. So that includes, by the way, Georgia, Texas, and Arizona, which are three red states the Democrats are contesting. But if you put together all the other red states in those three, then President Trump would have 191 electoral votes. That's tier one. Now, if you go through tier one in the polling, it looks like Georgia has settled itself down and is going to vote for President Trump. It looks like Texas has done the same. Arizona's coming back around. There's a lot of polls that keep signaling that the president seems to be stabilizing there, but it's still hanging out there, and the Democrats are still fighting it pretty hard. But that being said, assuming he can get that figured out in Arizona, he'd be, tier one would get him to 191 electoral votes. Tier two, other battleground states, I would have put two states in a second tier. That is Ohio and Iowa. Both of those states, the president has had commanding leads in the public and private polling, and to the point where the president is so confident he's actually pulled his ads off television in those two states. He's very confident he's going to win those ones. That would be another 24 electoral votes. That would get him, with tier one and two together, to 215 electoral votes. Tier three, I would put Florida and North Carolina. Now, a lot of Florida polling, now that's another 44 electoral votes, by the way, Florida and North Carolina. Florida's 29, North Carolina's 15. Florida polling has been leaning the president's way in recent weeks. There's some polls that have Biden up a little bit. There's some polls that have Trump up a little bit. There's a lot that have tied. But it looks like, and we've talked with Governor DeSantis about this, we've talked with experts in the state, and we're working on more reporting that goes through this. Republicans have actually been winning the voter registration battle on the ground in a big way, like 2-1 to the beating the Democrats, maybe even more than that, 2.5-1. In terms of registering new voters. The polling in Florida is looking good. I think that one's trending the president's way. North Carolina has been as well. And the latest thing out of North Carolina is the Democrat Senate candidate, Cal Cunningham, is caught up in a sexting scandal. Really, really bad for them. The Army Reserves are now investigating Cal Cunningham for potential because of this scandal, because of potential violations of the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So this is a big deal in North Carolina, and assuming the president can then put those two states in Tier 3, Florida and North Carolina, together with Tiers 1 and 2, you would then be at 259 electoral votes. Now, Tier 4, that means he would need 11 more to get across the finish line, right, if he has Tiers 1, 2, and 3 put together. And all of those are looking good. Except, you know, Arizona's some work to do. There's some work to do in Florida and North Carolina. But those are all looking good for the president right now. Tier 4, there's any number of different states that could get him across the finish line across 270 electoral votes. Pennsylvania is 20. The president and Republicans have been 2-1 beating Democrats on voter registration, new voter registrations in Pennsylvania. There's been a mixed bag of polling in Pennsylvania. Some has it really tight, some has it with a big Biden lead. I don't know which ones are right and which ones are wrong, but I know Republicans feel very confident about Pennsylvania. That would be 20 electoral votes. That would get him over the top if he has Tiers 1, 2, and 3 plus Pennsylvania. Michigan's another state that would get him over the top. Michigan has a 16 electoral votes. That one, there's been tight polling. It's a little bit tougher, I think, than Pennsylvania. It was about 30,000 votes closer than Pennsylvania in 2016. But that being said, another place where the president could get him over the top. Wisconsin or Minnesota are each 10 electoral votes. Both of those places, polling has shown a tight race. Republicans have been doing very well in voter registrations. And right before the president got sick with coronavirus, one of the last rallies he did, I think it was the last one he did, was in Duluth, Minnesota. And at that rally, there were actually 60% of the people who went were not registered Republican voters. They were either registered Democrats there to support the president, or they were not registered as Republicans or not registered at all, and now they're registered. So that's a big deal in Minnesota. I think that Minnesota was really close in 2016, so it could flip. But again, if you put Tiers 1, 2, and 3 together with a Wisconsin and a Minnesota, that would get them over the top, because that would be 20 total. Or the other place that you can get an extra electoral vote is Maine's 2nd Congressional District. And the latest polling out of Maine's 2nd District yesterday from the Bangor Daily News up in the northeast quarter of the United States, there, the Maine's 2nd District poll has President Trump up 8%, a blowout lead there, and it looks like he's going to win that one. And there's more and more stuff that keeps coming out about the Democrat Senate candidate there, Sarah Gideon, the Speaker of the State House, that is not good for their cause. So it does seem like the momentum is with the president, and it's very close here. But if President Trump can lock in those first three tiers, and it looks like Maine's 2nd District is a lock too, then he's one state away from resealing the deal and getting elected back to the White House. And that would mean if he does lock in those first three tiers, i.e. figures out Arizona, he gets North Carolina and Florida sorted out, make sure that Iowa and Ohio stay strong, then Joe Biden would have to go 4-for-4 in the upper Rust Belt, meaning Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota, which is a very tough road for Joe Biden to accomplish. And to go 4-for-4 in those states would be a very big deal and very tough for Joe Biden to do. And that's why Biden's spending all his time in the Rust Belt. If you haven't noticed, Biden did another event yesterday in Pennsylvania and Gettysburg. He's done, of the very few public events that he's done since winning the nomination, you know, since he started coming out of the basement, since the convention, he's done many of them in Pennsylvania, Minnesota, Michigan, and Wisconsin. That's where Biden's spending the vast majority of his time, because Biden knows he has to have a perfect score there to hold the line and win the White House, whereas President Trump just has to flip one of those four if he can hold that other core together around the country.
Joined by Breitbart News' Matt Boyle here on the program. And Matt, a few things there. We've seen Trump out in Arizona a few times, but haven't seen a whole lot of Biden out that way. And also, in addition to that, I wondered about this. I brought this up on the show all the time, but I think those the civil unrest stuff, Kenosha and Minneapolis in particular, is having an impact on those two states. I think there's enough people that see what saw what happened in Minneapolis, and people in Wisconsin that saw what happened in Kenosha, that don't want that. That's in their backyard. That is the product of a Democrat system of governance, and that could help presidents flip those. Well, we wouldn't need to flip Wisconsin because he won it in 16, but it might help him flip Minnesota.
Yeah, so on the first point about Biden not being in Arizona, I don't think we see Biden do a single campaign event in Arizona. I can't think of one off the top of my head. I think that's notable. That, you know, candidates, the campaigns have the best information. They're running daily and sometimes two or three times a day internal polling, so they know what's really going on, and they know what the real numbers are showing, not what the public polls and the media polls are showing. And look, I spoke last night with Congressman Paul Gosar. He insists that President Trump is going to win Arizona. So I think that's important. But that being said, the vice president is going to Arizona tomorrow. So he's got the debate with Kamala Harris tonight. Mike Pence will debate Kamala. And then he's going to Nevada in the morning and then Arizona in the afternoon tomorrow. So that's important. And by the way, Nevada is another state, by the way, that Republicans could flip. Colorado remains a possibility. New Mexico is a possibility. New Hampshire is a possibility. So there's a lot of expand the map talk inside the Trump campaign. Your other question there about the unrest in Kenosha and in Minneapolis, you're 100% right. That's definitely having a big deal. This is why up in northern Minnesota, right, so like the Duluth area and the northern part of the state, the Iron Range, all sorts of Democrat sheriffs have left the Democrat Party. They're endorsing President Trump for re-election. So this is a big deal. Minnesota is a state that President Trump came within 45,000 votes in 2016 of flipping. In fact, Evan McMuffin, remember him, the Never Trump candidate in 2016? He got more votes than the margin between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, and he was the fourth place finisher. The Libertarian Gary Johnson got something like 200,000. President Trump didn't even have a paid staffer on the ground in Minnesota, except for the one time he did an airport hangar rally there towards the end of the race, who flew in with him. Now they have a full-scale campaign operation challenging the state. They're on television. They're challenging everything that Joe Biden's doing there. The president and the vice president are doing multiple campaign visits there. I think this is going to make a difference, and I think that Minnesota could be the first big state. It could be the first, one of the biggest states to flip. And it would be the first time in 48 years, by the way. So last time a Republican won Minnesota in a presidential race was in 1972 with Richard Nixon's reelection. Ronald Reagan won 49 states in his 1984 reelection. 49 states. The only state he didn't win was Walter Mondale, his opponent's home state of Minnesota. And part of that is because it was a different time in American politics. Ronald Reagan actually, because he knew he was going to win so big, he conceded as a courtesy to Walter Mondale, his home state. Let him have it, right? Like, so he'd stop campaigning there to pull his ads, etc. I don't think that would happen in today's day and age. If Donald Trump could win Delaware, he would be campaigning there. If Donald Trump is campaigning aggressively in Pennsylvania, which is actually Biden's home state before he moved to Delaware later in life. But the Wisconsin thing, same thing. I think you're seeing the same thing there. Again, people know that if they want law and order, they got to vote for President Trump and the Republicans. And I think that the unrest and the violence in the streets has really upended the race in both of these places. And so seeing that as it plays out and on the backdrop of the pandemic, so both of these things are major issues. And so how does that all shape out over the course of the next 4 weeks or so here until the election day is going to be really interesting to watch.
Matt, last question before I let you go. 4 years to the day today, this was the Billy Bush release, Access Hollywood stuff. Are we on the verge, do you think, of everyone will say the October surprise was Trump's COVID diagnosis, but are we on the verge of some, once that dies down, another shot at an October surprise, do you think?
I think there's any number of things that are possible between now and Election Day. You're right. It wasn't until October 7th in 2016 that we got the Access Hollywood tape, and then we got the WikiLeaks release. Both of those were monumental shifts in the race. There's any number of things that could happen between now and Election Day. That could change the game here. Look, it's 2020, and this is crazier than 2016. I wouldn't be surprised by anything at this stage.
Do you get the sense? Look,
I think this Cal Cunningham thing, this vexing scandal in North Carolina, is a potentially huge October surprise on the caliber of potentially the WikiLeaks stuff, depending on how much this affects other Democrats who are connected to this guy. Look, Chuck Schumer, Cory Booker, all sorts of other Democrats are all intricately connected to this Cal Cunningham thing, and this has the potential to seriously hurt the Democrat Party up and down the ticket, not just in North Carolina, but across the country as well. Several of their other candidates are connected to him as well. So I think that's a potential big one. Who knows with regard to whatever documents the president may be releasing. He talked about last night giving the authority to declassify and release without redactions all documents. That's another possibility. There may be something coming from that. And then who knows? There may be all sorts of different things that happen between now and Election Day. But buckle up. We're far from over here.
Matt, we got to leave it there up against the break, but thanks for making time for us this morning.
Yep, anytime, Jeff.
That was Matt Boyle, Breitbart News, my colleague there. Got to get another timeout in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Say the same for me. I've done it many times. Somebody take me home.